Good morning. It is good to be with y'all. Y'all got the time change. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to our 10:30 service. If you're a guest with us today, thank you so much for being here. My name is John Kinney. I'm the senior pastor here. I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be at the far end of the lobby, so just stop by and say hello. If you're a guest with us, we have a Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. If it's your first or second time, I'd love for you to fill this out and then place it in one of the orange boxes on the way out of worship. You'll also notice on your seat there was a card that looks like this that says Christmas at Quest Church. We want you to have that so you know what's happening. You already got the time of the service today. It mentions the series that we're starting today up top, but it also has the Christmas Eve services, and we want you to be aware of those times. They're going to be 11, 1, 3, and 5 on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year. That always throws church staff off. I'm going to be honest with you. It's like, what do we do? How do we do this? So what we're doing is we're having four services that day. They'll all be identical. They're all Christmas Eve candlelight services. So you can come at 11, you can come at 5, you can come at 1 or 3. All of the services are exactly the same. So please come out and enjoy one of those services. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the reason we gave you these cards wasn't just so you'd have them, but we would love for you to invite somebody to church this season. I always tell our church that, you know, folks, almost 90% of people say they would come to church if somebody invited them. And what a great season to invite them during Christmas so that they can hear about the birth of Jesus and the love of a Savior for them. If you're not a Christian here today, I'm glad you're here. If you're not a church person, if this is new, you're kind of checking this out, thank you for being here. We welcome you here. This is a place we want you to feel at home. So thank you for coming during this Christmas season. Hey, it is Christmas, and I was thinking about, I wonder if any of us, and I'd love by a show of hands, if you can remember, all right, you ready? If you can remember your very first Christmas, raise your hand. Like when you were a baby. Really, some of you are amazing. I did not expect that. I don't know what to do with it. If you're lying, raise your hand. Some of you, okay. Most of us can't remember our very first Christmas, right? I was thinking about my first Christmas. I can't remember it, but my parents did, and so I asked my mom to dig up a picture. And so here's a picture of a really cute boy on his very first Christmas. Looks like most kids, right, at Christmas. Like, why am I sitting on this big red dude lap? I mean, what's going on here, right? And I'm dressed in my finest Christmas garb. That looks like a whole suit now that I look at. Is that a whole suit? That's really strange. I didn't notice that before. But that's my first Christmas. And if you're like, no, that can't be. You look so big. Well, I was born in April. I was 10 pounds when I was born. I put a hurting on my mama. And so obviously I was growing pretty fast. But I looked and the date on the side of this said 1972, December. And that was the year I was born. So my mom's telling the truth. That was my very first Christmas. You know, you may not have a picture, I don't know, of your first Christmas. Maybe you do. But the reality is everybody's had a first Christmas. Everybody in this room has had a first Christmas, whether you remember it or not, whether there's a picture of it or not. And we are a people, if you think about it, who love to chronicle first Christmases, first birthdays, first trips to the zoo, I mean, anything, right? And maybe it's not that that's kind of a new thing, it's just that we have social media now, so when you have a first thing with one of your children, you put it on there and everybody sees it. In fact, there's even clothing designated for first things, like first Christmas. Check out this little girl, my first Christmas, right? And what's funny is we just Google search that, so I don't think that's one of your children, maybe it is. But just a cute little girl, and it was her first Christmas, so they have clothes for that. And what's crazy is yesterday at our breakfast with Santa, I saw a bunch of kids that had little onesies and things like this that said my first Christmas. So I could have snapped a picture of one of your kids, but we already had this. I mean, it's funny, right, that there's garb, if you will. There's clothing for my first Christmas and all these other kinds of things. Well, why? What's the point? Why do I bring this up? Well, I'm a few months ago, as we were putting this idea for this series together, and I was thinking about how can we talk about Christmas this year, I was thinking it would be really awesome to talk about it like it was our first Christmas. Like, what would it feel like? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be refreshing? Like if you could approach Christmas this year like it was your first time? I think most of you would say yes. Because the thing about Christmas is we have them over and over and over and over. Like for me, I've had about 45 of them now since that first one. I'm 45 years old, and so I'm coming up on number 45 here, or 46, whatever that is. And it's like, golly, I've had so many Christmases. And if you're like me, if you do something a lot, it kind of loses its marble. It kind of loses the miracle of what it's about. And it's really interesting. I was thinking about it. Isn't it interesting that when you first do something, it's just amazing, no matter what the experience is. The first time you see something, the first time you experience something, the first time you hear something, the first time you go somewhere, you're like, this is amazing. But over time, if you do it over and over and over, it kind of, just kind of become callous to it, right? I think that's an interesting fact about us, that the longer we experience something, the less it impacts us like it did the very first time that we did it. And I think Christmas is that way. I think many of us, now this may be new for you. If you're new, again, new to church, not a Christian, whatever, and you're here, I'm glad you're hearing this story and listening to this for the first time maybe, or hearing it in a new way. But listen, many of us have heard this story over and over and over. So you kind of come into, oh, it's Christmas, Advent candles lit. I mean, oh, they're going to, Christmas stuff around the church, Christmas stuff. Hey, you know, Christmas comes around and you're like, I got to pull out the lights. You know, half of them are broken. I got to get back to Walmart and buy more. You know, you're putting them on the tree. That happened to me this year and I'm like, they never work. Have you ever, why do they not work? Is it like a one-year light? I mean, what in the world? So I had to go get more lights. By the way, and I'm not a salesman for them, but if you want good lights for outside, we now have this thing that makes it look like you have red and green bugs all over your house called Star Shower. 3 minutes to set up. My kids were like, Daddy, we want that. And I was like, I love you, children. So we have that and Elf, like this big punching bag looking thing that looks like Elf the movie, and that's it. So, hey, there you go. Try to work that out with your kids. I hope you can. I'll pray for you. But it's interesting that the longer we do something, right, it kind of, we get used to it, and it just doesn't seem to matter that much. And so as we approach Christmas, I was like, what would it look like if it felt like the first time for us, the first time we experienced it? What if it was like, what if you could see it in a new way? What if you could hear the story in a new way? This is especially going to be difficult if you've been in church a lot, but I want to invite you to just look. Everything you got to do the rest of today is still there, okay? Just relax for a little while, just for this hour, and let's hear the story. Let's see the story. Let's experience the story. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to look at people in the Bible who experienced the story of Christmas in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for the very first time. Because here's the thing, 2,000 years ago or so, it was their first Christmas. It hadn't happened yet. They did not know what to expect. Now, they were expecting, listen, I want to share with you what was going on in that day and time, because we do Christmas in 21st century America the way we do it. But back then, Christmas looked different. It was a different story. And so I want to kind of set it up for you before we look into the story of Christmas and see it through some of the character in the story, their eyes and their ears and their hands, and experience it like they did. What was going on in the first century when Jesus came into this world? Why did God choose that time to come into this world? Well, here's what we believe as Christians, that God created the universe, all things that exist, every tree you see, every creation in the world, everything that you see, a newborn baby, an animal, I mean, everything, God created all this. And so God sent his son into this world as a baby born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. Why would God do that? Well, God needed to rescue his creation from their sin and brokenness and bondage and all that had entered the world because of our sin. You can read about that all the way back in Genesis. And so the God of the universe, this is amazing, comes into his creation. Where does he come? He comes to Israel. Why does he come to Israel? Why didn't he go to some other country? The reason he came to Israel was because Israel were the people of God in the Old Testament. You can read about it, and it says in the Bible in Genesis chapter 12, God said that he was going to bless all people, all nations, all families, including mine, including yours, including every nation and family in this world that exists today. God was going to bless all of them through the nation of Israel. They were going to be a light to all people. And by the way, that's still what we're supposed to do, be a light. It shines in darkness for all people by giving God's love and his grace, his compassion, all of those things. And so God said he was going to do this through Israel. And so when that didn't happen and couldn't be fulfilled through Israel, because we're broken, amen? We're broken people. We can't shine the light of God on our own. We need Christ in us. We need his spirit in us. So God sent his son Jesus in the form of a baby to walk this earth, to live like us, to do what we did. Now, here's what they were expecting. I want you to know. They weren't expecting what they got. They were expecting a Savior. They were expecting a Savior. They were expecting a Messiah. It talks about it in the Old Testament. They were expecting someone to come and rescue them. There's that language. Bring them salvation. There's that language that we use still in the church. But salvation from political oppression, from a Roman government that was occupying their land at the time, that was taxing them, that was doing all this stuff. They were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for someone who would reign from a throne, not a manger, who would reign from a palace, not a barn, where Jesus was born, and ultimately a cross that he would be put on. And so Jesus comes into this world, and the story, you can read about it in Luke's gospel, chapter 2, first 7 verses, but I just want to summarize it for you, and we're going to pick it up at verse 8 here in just a moment. What happens is God comes, and it's a scandalous story, if you think about it. He comes to a young peasant Jewish girl who's engaged but not married yet, and she becomes pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. She tells people this. Come on, guys. Like, who would ever believe that, right? So the guy she's engaged to, Joseph, decides quietly to leave her because she shares this story and he doesn't believe it. What does he think? You know what he thinks. But then an angel comes to Joseph and says, hey, this story is true. An angel has already come to Mary and told her this was going to happen, and she says, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it, God. And so God enters creation through this young peasant Jewish girl that nobody knew from a no-name town. And also now Joseph, who is engaged to be married to her, is going to accompany her to Bethlehem. Why are they going to Bethlehem? They're going to Bethlehem because the Roman governor at the time said, I need to count everybody. It's called a census. You ever participated in one? Now they come to your house. I think you fill them out online. Now it's so simple. But back in that day, you had to go to wherever you were born. So they had to go all the way back to where they were from, if they didn't live there, to be counted. And so everybody had to show up at home, if you will, and had to be counted. So they go there. Mary's 9 months pregnant. Imagine that. They didn't have nice, fancy vehicles, so she went on a donkey and that bumpy ride all the way to Bethlehem. And when they get there, they're a little late. All the hotels are full. I mean, not even the Super 8 has a room. I mean, nobody has anywhere for them to be, right? And so they walk in one place. It's late at night. I mean, what's going on? And Joseph says, I just need a room. I don't have a room, but I'll tell you what, I do have a barn or a cave. Many people think Jesus was born in kind of the side of a hill in a cave. I have a cave. I have a barn. I have a stable out back. You can go back there and stay. And so they go back there. Imagine this, arrange some hay and stuff and some blankets, and they lay down, and there Jesus is born. Crazy. Born in a manger, which, by the way, is a feeding trough. And so that's the scene. But then, you ever notice in TV shows or movies, you're like into this scene. Like, I just shared that scene with you. You kind of, man, that's amazing. And then the camera just cuts, and you're in another scene, right? Well, that's what happens. And so I want to cut to that scene. It's Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It says this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Strange. All of a sudden, we're dealing with Jesus being born. That was Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. We've got this incredible moment. God, why would you change the moment? Like, this is what's happening. All of a sudden, camera, whoop, over now to these shepherds on a hillside near Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem has these hills around it, right? Kind of countryside. And so at the countryside on these hills, there's these shepherds, and they're they're late at night. They've got the night shift, these guys. They're blue-collar hired workers. And so here they are. They are there, and they're guarding these sheep. And I want to tell you about this story and why God would come in just a moment and share a message with these shepherds. But first, I want you to understand who the shepherds were. There's lots of debate about this. But most people, it's kind of known that these shepherds in that day and time, because we look at shepherds just in the Bible, if you know the story of the Bible, Jesus, the great shepherd, and all this kind of stuff, well, God does something with the whole shepherd image, because in that day and time, shepherds were known as lowly people. They weren't very popular. If you think of a ladder, right? If you think of a ladder, there's rungs on a ladder, right? The shepherds, can you guess, were at the bottom rung of the ladder. And the reason is they always smelled because they hung out with sheep. You ever been around sheep or just get a bunch of animals? You know, sometimes I wrestle with my dog or something. I'm like, man, that dog stinks because now I stink, right? Well, the shepherds were hanging out and couldn't even bathe for several days sometimes. They worked several shifts in a row and couldn't even go home. And so here they are. They smell. They've been around these sheep. They're taking care of them, and they don't make much. They were probably taking care of sheep destined for sacrifice at the temple, because the Israelites had to take unblemished sheep. They had to be well cared for, and they had to sacrifice them at the temple. That was the way that you came before God and said, forgive my sins, as a sacrifice of blood had to happen. And so these shepherds were taking care of sheep to be purchased. Many people thought shepherds were crooks. They would charge too much for the sheep, this and that. All this kind of thing happened, and adding some value on top before they paid the person who they were working for. I mean, this is who they were. The religious leaders didn't like them much, even though they had to use them and hire them to take care of these sheep for the temple sacrifices. They didn't like them because they smelled. They couldn't come to worship. Back in that day and time, if you didn't dress right, does this sound familiar? If you weren't clean enough and all that kind of stuff, you couldn't go to temple. You had to have all of that in play. And so they were bottom of the rung. That's very important to remember. So here we have this scene. We've gone from the God of the universe now being born in the flesh, Jesus coming, to these shepherds in a field. Why are we looking at that? Why is the camera now focused on that? Well, let's move on in the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says, suddenly, next verse, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I mean, wouldn't you be, right? They were terrified. They were freaked out because it was just a regular day, a regular night. It's probably evening, right, at this point. And so they had just checked in. Hey, Sam, how you doing? Hey, Bob, good. How are you, Luke? I'm fine. Click, time card. And they're, you know, watch out for that sheep. He's been trying to get away. And there's another one we've lost. I don't know where he is. Maybe we can find him tonight because the guy that we work for, he's going to be ticked off about that. He doesn't like to lose sheep. That's what's going on. And in the middle of all that, boom, an angel shows up. Weird, not your normal night. And so they're freaked out. Why is the angel there? Well, that's the next part of the story. Here's the next few verses. It's kind of long, but they're going to bring a message. I want to share it with you. But the angels reassured them, don't be afraid. Yeah, right. He said, I bring you bad news? No. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now listen, this is a fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12, where, hey, I'm going to bless all people through you, all nations. There's something good that's going to happen. And this now is that fulfillment thousands of years later. I mean, it's just crazy. It's amazing, the story of the Bible, the way it's woven together. The Savior. Now listen, don't read any further. It's a test. No. When he said the Savior, and then the Messiah, they would have been like, because they knew who that was. They knew that somebody was supposed to come and rescue them. Now, they were bottom of the rung, so they didn't expect it was going to have much to do with them because they weren't allowed in the temple and all this already. But so there's this message that this Messiah, this rescuer, and they would have known because they were those who lived in Israel and Bethlehem, what this was about. He is being born. He has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, right here, right where you are. I mean, crazy that this would happen. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wearing a onesie that says, My First Christmas. Oh, no, it doesn't say that, does it? Wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Now there's a big choir, the armies of heaven, praising God and singing. It's really singing. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Next verse. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village, it was a short distance, and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger, lying in the feeding trough in the barn. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and that the angel and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So this is the very first Christmas that ever existed. I mean, this is where God comes into the world, and you've heard this story likely, or if you haven't, here it is. And you have the God of the universe coming in the flesh. I mean, amazing, in this little baby, Jesus, being born in a manger. And then it pans over the scene to these shepherds, and now what I find interesting, follow this, is the very first birth announcement about Jesus that we have recorded is given to who? Rulers, kings, important people, people high on the ladder? No, who? Lowly people. It's already been given to Mary and Joseph, who were nobodies, basically. But now it's given to the shepherds. And so the shepherds are invited. There's a birth announcement, but it doesn't just say, hey, the Savior has been born. It says, now come and see him. Touch him. Put your hand out and let God. You ever done that with a baby? I love it. I always reach my finger. I did it for the first service. There was about little baby reaches out and they just hold onto your finger. I want you to imagine that the God of the universe in Christ is in this feeding trough and there are these shepherds. Are you hearing this story, my friends? And he puts his hand up. He's just a baby. He doesn't know what he's doing, right? But and then the shepherds, they touch the hand of God in Christ in that manger. Interesting. Let me ask you something. Could it be that God is trying to tell us something with this story? I think God's very intentional. Like, I think he had a plan. I don't think he just kind of, well, let's just do it this way. I don't think he had committee meetings about it. Like, hey, what do y'all think? I think he knew. I think he knew from the beginning of creation, when Jesus was there, what was going to happen, right? And so he planned this. It was intentional. We're going to come in this way. Now, I do think, I don't know. I like to imagine these things. Maybe the angels are like, really, a barn? Like, I think maybe they were having meetings, like, behind God's back. I don't know. Like, hey, Michael, that's one of the angels. Gabriel, that's one of the angels. Should we talk to him about this? And, you know, but this is the way God decides to do it, and he's planned to do it from the beginning of time. So what is he trying to tell us? Why is he intentionally giving the birth announcement to shepherds? Why is he inviting shepherds? Remember, lowly, bottom of the barrel, low on the rung of the ladder culture. Now, why is he doing that? But before I answer that or try to attempt to, let me ask you something. Where do you place yourself on that ladder? I mean, I think we place ourselves in different places. Some of us walk in here and we feel bottom of the rung. I know. You feel like you're at the bottom. Or maybe you used to be higher, now you feel lower. Maybe something in your life, I don't know, but you feel like bottom of the rung, things that are going on in your life right now. I don't know. Others of you, you feel like, I've climbed the ladder of success, the way you do that in our culture. I'm higher on the ladder. I'm never going back there, right? But here you are now. I don't know. People are at various places culturally, talking culturally, on this rung, this ladder, right, that has all these rungs on it. So where do you place yourself? Then let me ask you this. Where do you place other people? When you pass by that person on the side of the road, where do you place them? That coworker, where do you place them? That family member, am I stepping on toes? Where do you place them? That friend that used to be a friend, where do you place them? All right, so what is God trying to tell us? Well, I think he's trying to tell us something amazing. And what's so crazy about God is everything we think is always like upside down. You ever notice that? But can I challenge you for a minute? It's not. It's right side up. We're upside down. The way culture does things is often upside down. We say God comes in and he does things upside down. No. He's God. He writes the ship. He puts things back the way they're supposed to be. And so what is God trying to tell us by giving the birth announcement to the shepherds and inviting them to touch the hand of God in that baby? I think he's telling us this. Christmas, listen, my friends, Christmas is for all people. All people, all of us, everybody in this room. Christmas is for all of us. And by that I mean, if you're feeling low today, especially, I know some of you are, I've heard from you, I know your stories. If you're feeling low, if you're feeling like, yeah, God, this is how you know, you're like, yeah, God loves everybody else but not me. That's kind of what we say to ourselves. I'm the one. If you're feeling like that, I'm here to tell you, Christmas is for all of us. That God came to love all of us. God came to be present with all of us. In John's gospel, it says this in John chapter 1, that God, who was called the Word in the Bible, the Word became flesh. God became flesh. And it says in the scripture that he came and made his home among us. I'm making you nervous. So God came. See, I was up there, but now I'm down here. And he came to be with us. And it feels different now, right? And some of you are thinking, don't come sit next to me. I'm choosing people that I know won't hurt me afterward. Right? God came to be with us. It's an important message. I can get with all of y'all right here. I love this. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. He didn't stay up there. He came down here. In the Bible, it says he made his home among us. One of the translations says he moved into your neighborhood. It's like he was next door, right? It's different when somebody sits next to you. That's what God did in Christ. He came and he sat next to us. Does that make sense? It's called the incarnation, the presence of God. And so God is for all of us. God has come for all of us. Christmas is for all of us. But can I tell you something? That's not enough to hear, because you also must hear this. Are you ready? Christmas is also for all of them. Who is them? Oh, we all have some. There's somebody that you don't like. There's somebody that you're struggling with right now. I'm not telling you can't struggle, and you may not even like them, but you got to love them. Christmas is for them as well. Are you hearing me, church? I think we give ourselves an out on this. I'm just going to tell you, because some of us, what we do is we love the Christmas is for all of us. Amen, I needed to hear that, because we want it. And some of you do need to hear it because you feel bottom of the rung. I get it. But for those of us who say, yeah, but I have some people at the bottom of the rung, Christmas can't be for them. And it's the way that, it's how you live tomorrow with them that's going to tell. I could follow you around and say, nope, you don't believe Christmas is for them, because you do not love them. You do not share the love of Christ with them. You can't, you know, you're like, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm that person, friends. I'm looking in the mirror as I share this with you. I'm telling you, Christmas is for all of us. So what that means is Christmas is also for them. Here's how you know you believe that. You ready? It's said in the story. I know. Man, this is an important message, but it's challenging. It grabs us, and at the same time, if you're hearing it for the first, this is what happens. You ready? This is how you know you get it. That you get what I'm talking about today. It says in the story that the shepherds, once they touched the hand of Jesus, they went and they told everybody. They lived out the message. They told people. They couldn't help it. And it says, did you remember? It said, all who heard the shepherd's story were, did you hear it? Astonished. Do you know why they were astonished? One, they were like, what in the world? Why are they the ones to hear it first? That's why the religious leaders don't like the story at all and choose to deny it, because they have arrogantly put themselves on a ladder in that culture that did not exist, but they made one. There is no ladder, friends. At the foot of the cross, at the foot of the manger, all ground is level. There's no, you don't get to deny somebody Jesus and touch the hand of God at the manger because you think something about them because of their skin color, because of their sexual orientation, because of their political affiliation, because of the way they look, because of what they've done to you. Are you hearing me, church? It's for all of us. And here's how you know. They went and told the story. And so, and I believe this is a love story, and it's the greatest love story that's ever been told. So here's what happens. You begin to tell the love story. And so my challenge for us as we leave today is this: tell the greatest love story ever told. This is how you know that you have taken it in. I don't want to say believe it. We say that too much. Believe. Like, I believe in some things about God. I'm talking about believing the message, and it's changed you in such a way that you can't do anything but love people. Amen. Are you hearing me, church? Do I struggle with this? Yes. Do I struggle with loving you sometimes? Yes. Do you struggle with loving me? I know you do. But here's how you know it's real. It's changing you. You have touched the hand of God. He has wrapped his hand around your finger like those shepherds, and it's changed you. So you tell the story. Sometimes people are like, well, I'm out on that one, because, like, I don't know the five verses John quotes to people when he's telling people. I never quote, seldom. If it works, if it matters at that moment, I'm not like, well, the Bible said blah, 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 blah. It's not what I do. It's not what you have to do. You just live it out in front of people, and they're like, why do you love me like this? Well, because God loved me. So I love you. And you may never get the chance. They may never ask the question, but you just keep loving them. Amen? That's telling them the story. What would it look like in your house? What would it look like in your workplace? What would it look like in Walmart and Publix and all the places we'll visit, Starbucks this afternoon? If we would tell the great love story. This is our call. This is the Christmas message. Hear it for the first time. Let's pray.